works. For in them is truth, and that by knowing that truth will be free. I ask that you be with me as we go through the lesson. Let your words be the words that I speak, and let none of my words get to the mark. And I just pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay. What are you willing to give to the kingdom for the building of the body of Yeshua? More importantly, what are you willing to leave behind to gain access to the King of Kings? If there is anything that we should have learned along the way, is that it is not important what you are holding on that will prevent you from entering the kingdom. It is what you do with it. Yeshua said that he who places his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. In Luke 9:57-62, it reads, as they went on the way, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Yeshua said to him, foxes have holes, and birds have their of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me, but he said, Lord, let me go and bury my father. And Yeshua told him, let the dead bury the dead, and bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim, foxes have holes, and birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. 59, it says, he said to another man, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go and bury my father. And Yeshua told him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you shall go proclaim the kingdom of God. Another man also said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me say goodbye to those at my home. And Yeshua told him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit to enter the kingdom of God. In Luke 17:26-33, it reads, just as it was in the days of Noah, this is how it's going to be, so will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be the same on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the person who is on the roof and his belongings is in the house should not go down to get them. Likewise, the person in the field should not turn back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to preserve his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will keep it. In this Torah portion, we see Yahweh calling for a collection of the willing. They were not forced to contribute, rather it was whatever was on their heart to give. In fact, when the offering was received, they had to restrain the people from giving, for they had too much. Can you imagine that if they were forced to stop giving? Or today, people will be barely wanting to give anything. Well, they'll give few dollars, or maybe $5, or $10, and this is not to put the blame on any one person, but with the cares of this world, we've lost track of what God has called us to do. What is most important is to contribute for the kingdom and the things that is necessary for the people, the poor, the needy, the widow, and the orphan. When we give all into whatever he has for us to do, he will make the provision. Time and time again, Yahweh takes from the things that we've had and multiplies them for his glory. And I'm reminded many times in my own life where God has multiplied things beyond what I can even imagine. This one time we sat down for a meal. This is when I was in Italy. And the person that came and brought food for us, it was on a weekly basis that the married people gave to the center where I was staying at for the single guys, a meal. Now, this meal was for 10 people, because that's how many people there were staying at the center at the time, plus the people who brought the food. So there was enough food for that evening. Well, unknown to us, there was a submarine that pulled alongside our ship, and they found where we were at. 30 guys showed up at our door. We didn't turn them away for lack of food. Instead, we prayed and God blessed the food and multiplied it to the needs that we have. The last person ate, they were full and satisfied, and everybody had enough. We then realized that that pot only held enough for just the 10 of us, and yet it fed over 40 people. God takes what we have and multiplies it. He asked Moses, "What do you have in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And Yahweh said to him, "Cast it down to the ground," and became a serpent. He had to tell them to pick it up because he was deathly afraid of snakes. He didn't want to pick that thing up. He said it was going to bite him. He said, "Go pick it up." So he went and picked it up and became a staff again. So it's not so much what we have that he's going to do something with. It's what are we willing to do? Are we willing to give it up for him and let him use it to his glory? Or we want to keep it as one rich man that Yeshua talks about. He had a farm, and he had a bumper crop, and then he turned around, and he said, "Tear down that old barn. We'll build a bigger barn. We'll store all the stuff." Well, that food is meant for everybody in his neighborhood also, his friends, his family, and those around him. But what they did was evil inside of God. He says, "You fool, your life is required of you this very day." So consider the widow. In 1 Kings 17, 9 through 16, it says, "Get up," this is talking to Elijah, "go to Zephrath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there. I have commanded a woman there, a widow, to provide for you." So he got up and went to Zephrath, and he came to the city gate, where he saw a widow gathering sticks. He called her and said, "Please give me a little water in a jar so I can have something to drink." And when she went to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread." And she said, "As surely as the Lord lives, your God lives, I have no food except a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a pitcher. See, I'm gathering a couple of these sticks so that I can go and prepare it for myself and my son, so that we can eat it and then die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do just as you said. But first make me a small loaf of bread for me from the flour and bring it to me. Then go and make another for you and your son. For this is what Yahweh said, Yahweh, the God of Israel, said, A jar of flour will not run out, and the pitcher of oil will not become empty until the day Yahweh sends rain to water the surface of the ground." So she went and did exactly as Elijah said. And she, as well as her household, were able to eat for many days. So he took a little bit of what she had, just a handful of flour and some oil, and magnified it to the point where it lasted many, many days until the rain came. And then the crops started again, and then she was able to sustain herself and Elijah and her son. The jar of flour did not run out. The pitcher of oil did not become empty, just as Yahweh had said through Elijah. What seemed to be a desperate time for the widow and her son, Yahweh took from what she had and made provision for them as long as they did what he said for her to do. You never know what will happen, and you won't see what Yahweh will do until you let go and give it to Yahweh. For we must have faith in him and do what he said for us to do. This reminds me of a time again when I didn't know what was going to happen. I had to believe that he would see me through, and even though I did not have money to make provision for myself, I was renting a place. The owner was a Christian. He tithed out of his garden. He left it at the doorstep of my apartment, and anyone who needed it could take from it what they needed. I lived off that through the summer, and by his gracious hand, Yahweh made provision for me. 6 months before, Yahweh told me a simple word that was to prepare. 6 months before that. And at that time, I didn't know what was going to happen. I prayed about the word, and he opened my eyes to pay my rent and my pay my bills, utility and the phone and so forth, 3 months ahead. All the time, I kept everything current. The place where I worked told me that I was being terminated, and at the end of my probation, I was given my last check. It was 3 months to the day when I received my first check from the VA to pay for school. Yahweh takes care of those who follow him. I'm saying this to say that if he does not seem to answer you in that manner every time. In other words, it may not be money, it may not be food, it may be shelter, it may be somebody else to provide a place for you to live at. It may be that things that you don't think of normally, he's going to provide for. In 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, it says, the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared Yahweh, but now the moneylenders come to take my two sons as slaves. Then Elijah said to her, go and ask your neighbors for jars, empty jars. Don't ask for only a few. In other words, ask for a lot of them, as many as they could spare. Continuing, then go inside and shut the door behind you and your son, and pour oil into all the jars. When each one is full, set it aside. So she went and shut the door in her house, and behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars, and she poured. And then the jars were filled. And she said to her sons, bring me another jar. Finally, he said, there aren't any more jars. Then the oil stopped. So then she went and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debt. And then you and your sons can live off of what's left. So he makes provision. Even with what little she had a crucible of oil, and she went and told the prophet, this is all I have. And they came and they were going to take her son and put him in slavery. When things seem so desperate, we often find ourselves crying out to God to help us, but where we should be in all that time, we should be dependent upon him. But she knew the way to do this. She went to the prophet, the man of God. She went and asked and inquired of God, what should she do? So that her sons wouldn't wind up in slavery to pay her husband's debt. So when she was told, oh, go and borrow the jars, and the oil you pour into the jars, nobody's going to know about it but you and your sons. She could have scoffed at him and said, it's not going to happen that way. God doesn't do things like that. No, she had faith, and she went and acted on God's word that he said through the prophet. We need to listen to what God's telling us. It may sound silly to us that, oh, I only have this little bit of oil. How is that going to get it through to where I can fill all the jars of myself and my neighbors? But yet, God made provision. So when he calls us to do things, he already has in mind what he's going to do before we even ask the question. We need to be looking at what God can do, not what we just have in our little house or our apartment or a big house. It doesn't matter what we have. It's what are you willing to give up to glorify God? Let him have the glory and not ourselves. That's it. As a person who had all that bumper crop, he says, oh, I'll just tear down this old barn and build a new one and put all this stuff in there. He didn't realize that what he was doing was putting the nails in his own coffin. In Mark 6:37-44, but he answered them, and you give them something to eat. This is Yeshua, and they were talking about what they were going to, how the people were going to eat because they were hungry. He said, you give them something to eat. They asked him, should we go and buy 200 dinar worth of bread and give them something to eat? In one version, it says, even a small portion. He said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And they found out, and they said, 5 and 2 fish. He directed everyone to sit down in groups on the green grass. And they sat down, groups of hundreds and fifties. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heaven and blessed the loaves and broke them. And he kept giving the pieces to his disciples to set in front of them. He divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. It reminds me when the manna came, some who gathered a lot and some gathered a few. Well, the ones that gathered a few and the ones that gathered a lot, they all had exactly what they needed. There wasn't any lacking in among the people. They didn't have too much. They didn't have too little. It was just enough. Only when we become greedy and in our hearts, then we find out that we have not enough to supply our needs. In fact, the stuff that we do have often will rot and decay before we get a chance to eat it. They all ate and they were all satisfied. And they picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves, and there were women and children alongside of them too. Do not doubt what Yahweh can supply, that Yahweh can supply your needs. Again, I say, surely we must do all we can to make provision for our families and ourselves. Yet in all our desperation, our King hears our cry, and he takes care of us. All we need to do is ask, and he says in Matthew 7:7-8, keep asking and it will be given. Keep seeking, you will find. Keep knocking and it will be open for you. We have to be persistent on all the things that he wants us to do. We can't just give up halfway through and not finish the race. He wants us to finish the race so that we can have eternal life. There are many who are going to be going on this path, and many will turn back. Yeshua had thousands of people following him in his whole ministry. There were millions of people there at Mount Sinai. How many of those made it into the promised land? Of all that generation, only 2, Caleb and Joshua. That was it. How many people made it out of the flood? Out of billions of people on the planet, only 8. How many people made out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot, his wife, and his 2 daughters. And ultimately, he lost his wife as well because she looked back. We are not to look back on what we had. All the time that Israel was in the wilderness, they complained and looked back to Egypt. Egypt was destroyed. They forgot that. All they remember was the flesh pots and the fish and the bread they got every single day. It was part of the king's portion for them. Yeah, they were in slavery, but they remembered, well, at least they had food. At least they had shelter. They didn't have to worry about it. They could get water by turning the foot valve. No problem. But yeah, when it comes right down to it, they were in slavery and bondage to what the Pharaoh did to them. How quickly they forgot the peril they were in every single day. Same thing can happen to us. When we forget who our Messiah is, whose God that we serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if we are not focused in on that, it doesn't matter how many bushels of grain that we have stored, how many thousands of loaves of bread we have, it will not be enough. If we forget who we serve, we need to keep our eye on the end goal, and that is to love and to serve God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we're not doing that, then nothing we have in making preparation is going to be enough. He said that everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. We see this all the time here where we're at. There's times where we can push on and push on and push on, and there's times where the door is shut and we can't get through. But Yahweh makes provision for us by just allowing us to be here in this land, by allowing us to go into Jerusalem during the feast days, by allowing us to see firsthand what's going on there. It's a privilege and an honor to serve our King. In Matthew 21, starting in verse 21, Jesus answered them, "Amen, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, You will not only do what is done to the fig tree. This is when they went by and cursed the fig tree and it withered and died. But even if you told this mountain, be lifted up and be thrown into the sea, it will be done. Whatever you ask for in prayer, as you believe, you will receive. And every time that he asked somebody, do they want to be healed? Yes, do you believe I can do this? And he said, yes. He said, according to your faith, it is done for you. It's when we doubt, these things are not going to be done. Even in this, we must act in faith if we expect to get anything from Yahweh. If we ask in doubt in our heart, do not think that you will receive anything. I know that this is all seems basic and a lot have come to an in-depth, came for an in-depth study of all these things of Yahweh. Yet, if we miss the basic understanding and the love of God, then we miss the point. They asked Yeshua, what is the greatest commandments of Yahweh? He replied in Matthew 22:36-40. They said, teacher, which is the greatest commandments of the law? And Yeshua said, love Yahweh with your God, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. Love is more than an emotional response to something or someone. Rather, it's in our actions that show that we love him and others. We are to be loving, living, breathing Torah, a beacon on the hill for all to see the way to Messiah. We must give with an open hand for those who are in need. He has only loaned these things to us. Our job is to give it to whoever he wishes. He wishes. Not out of our own desire to get points from somebody else, but it's according to what our master wants us to do. And we pray and we seek him, and he's going to tell us what to do with our money and our resources and our finances, because it is his ultimately. And what our husband loves, we must love. What he hates, we must hate. We should know him so well as the back of our hand, and his thoughts should be first and foremost on our foreheads. In all this, he wants us to live, he wants to live among us, and he wants to live within us. This is what his whole desire was when he built the tabernacle. He wanted not only to live in their midst, he wanted to be in their midst, in their hearts, in their soul, in their minds, in their thinking. They rejected him every single time. Yes, they built this magnificent structure. And then during Solomon's days, as we get reading in the Haftorah portion, this was a magnificent structure. When they rebuilt the temple after they came back from Babylon, they wept because it did not reflect his glory anymore. He wasn't in there. He's supposed to be in their hearts, and yet they missed the point. And we miss the point too. If we live this life without him in our hearts, it's like a big hole in our life. In all us, he wanted to live among us. He wanted to live within us. And he still wants to do this very day. What are you willing to give up to get closer to the king? This reminds me again of Esther, who had to prepare to see the king. She fasted and prayed to our king, Yahweh, before she met the king. And we, as the bride, must prepare ourselves to meet with our husband, the great I Am. Esther, in this beauty pageant, she had to prepare herself for a whole year of treatments. But yet, when she was asked, what do you want to bring? You can bring anything you wish for the night that you're going to meet the king. And she asked the eunuch, what does he want me to bring? What does he desire? This is our desire to meet our king. What do we bring? Every single thing that he gave us. They gave so much, they had to be restrained from giving. I've been in many churches, you practically had to beg every single day to get an offering that was going to pay the utilities, to make sure the salary got paid, make sure the children of the preacher got paid, not paid, but taken care of. And it was always in a deficit. They gave their second best. And this is the biggest thing that Yahweh talked to them about before they went to exile. You bring your sick, lame animals to sacrifice to me. You keep the best for yourself. Yes, they did all these wonderful things in the wilderness, but they quickly forgot when Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights to get the terms and conditions of the contract that they said, yes, we'll do it all. But they quickly forgot it and they built a golden calf. They didn't have a personal relationship with the king. The astronaut only brought what the king liked. No fanfare, none of her desires went just that she wanted to please the king. Are we ready to meet the king? Are we trying to prepare in the flesh so that we appear to be ready only to find out we came up short? The 10 virgins that had their lamps, and 5 of them were foolish, they didn't have enough. Oh, they had enough to get through a little while. They figured, well, maybe he'll be here in 10 days. And they had enough for 10 days. But when he tarried, they didn't have enough. We should have enough to keep us going until our king comes to see us again. In the beginning, Yahweh prepared Adam to be with him. And he gave everything to manage and rule over. He was perfect in every sense of the word. And yet Yahweh said it's not good that the man should be alone. So he prepared for him from Adam's side a companion. One that would be his equal and helper. This was a picture of the Spirit who is alongside of us to help us and remind us of the things of Yahweh. We are to be participating in our relationship, willing to leave it all behind to get as close as we can to our husband. We are not to be like the 5 foolish virgins. Oh, they were ready for the short term, but when it came right down to it, were they ready to meet the king? So in all this, the preparations is key and focal point of this whole Torah portion, is make preparation to meet the king, to be with him and among him in his presence all the time. And yet they blew it. We blew it. We got antsy. We want to do it our way. We wanted to take it in our own manner, in our own hands, and do it our way, and not his way. We didn't seek to please him. We only wanted to get glory for ourselves and go back to where we were in bondage. It is so easy to do that because the calling from that, the pulling on the heartstrings is all the time. We think about things that, well, it was nice to have a nice meal, going out to eat and being with our friends and our family, going to the movies, doing all these things. And yet we have to remind ourselves of the calling that he's placed in our lives. Are we willing to give up everything so we can be with our king? Or we want to hold on to things and not give? Do you realize that when they gave of their heart what was on their heart to give, they got credit for building the tabernacle as if they've had their hands involved in every process. And yet they were restrained from doing all this stuff because they only needed so many people to work. And yet they got credited that they built it themselves, each one. And when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, he's saying that you helped build the new kingdom. You helped in your recreation because now you're ready to be my bride. Are you ready to be his bride, or are you just playing the game? And that's what we have to ask ourselves today. And Yahweh bless you.